Romans. I appreciated the youth this morning and that worship set. I'm not a musician, as you well know, but even from a novice standpoint, those didn't seem like easy songs to learn or to play and to perform, and so I appreciate the great talent. Wednesday night, they led worship for us, and it was Lindsay and Olivia that led the service, and now this morning we had Lily and Olivia, and it's just neat to see interchangeable parts there and the high quality that they are able to bring in their service of the Lord. Good job. I love the way their voices blend. I would think that harmony is a difficult skill to master. I'm still croaking myself. So, and I was mused because I've been fighting this virus, and I know if my wife was here this morning, she would have been elbowing me and saying, "Joel, don't sing." Joel. Now, she would say that anyway if I didn't have a virus, but especially when I have a virus, try to save your voice. But there's just something about when you have an opportunity to worship the Lord, it's hard not to. Romans chapter 7. Beth Madden came home to find her husband sitting on the couch watching television. She said, "I thought you were going to mow the lawn." He said, "I'm waiting on a part." "Well, what part is that?" "The part of me that wants to." That's exactly what we're going to talk about this morning, is the part of you that wants to do good things. If you could sometimes use a little motivation out of destructive or wasteful vegging modes into a productive, useful frame of mind and activity, that's what the Word is going to help us with today. Would you like to help motivating yourself toward constructive behaviors? Romans chapter 7, verse 18. "For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." Father, we bring ourselves to you this morning, and we ask you for your help. Not just your forgiveness, but your help. Help us to change from who we are and who we have been to a better version of ourselves as we serve you. And we'll thank you for that help in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a battle that rages inside each and every one of us. On one side is our flesh pulling us into destructive patterns of thinking and acting. On the other side is the Holy Spirit drawing us into healthy patterns of thought and accomplishment. And we have this discussion with ourselves every day, through the day. We may start out very well in the morning. In the afternoon, tend to struggle a little bit more. Let me ask you, have you ever gotten up from a meal and felt guilty? You ate what you wanted to eat, but then quickly regretted what you'd just done. I don't know about you, but I purposely now avoid buffets. I cannot be trusted at a buffet. I hurt myself when it comes to buffets. You stand up and you feel so bloated. And then maybe worse than the physical bloat is the guilt that settles down on you. And you ask yourself that question, why did I just do that? And it comes back to your memory. The last time I did this, I promised myself I would never do this again. Maybe you've even gotten to the point that you're so used to giving in to that temptation, you wear your stretchy pants whenever you go out to eat because you know the bloat is coming and it has become your way of coping with the aftermath of the influx of food. You know what they say, a moment on the lips, a lifetime on the conscience. Have you ever lounged away the afternoon. And rather than getting up to feel refreshed and rested, you felt like a sloth. You probably felt tireder than when you first laid down. And as you get up, you think about all those things you could have done. Oh, you would have felt so much better if you had taken care of this or taken care of that. And you loathe your laziness. In each of these instances, the flesh got exactly what it wanted, but the result was misery. Now, isn't that a basic law of life? If you get what you want, you'll be happy. Isn't that why we pursue the things we want? We figure it's going to be better if I get what. That's why we want things, is because they are good for us, right? Well, no, actually. A lot of times we want things that are bad for us, that do us harm in the long run. And this is how sin works. We want it so badly, but the result is guilt, waste, depression, sadness, a dead life. So this is a law of nature I want you to understand this morning. You feed sin, you reap death. Feed sin, reap death. Feed sin, reap death. The world is ever advertising sin. They're always dressing it up. This is what you want. This would be great. Don't you want it? Aren't you hungry? And oh, it looks so good. But somehow, we always forget that back end of it. The last time I did this, It didn't turn out so good. We feed sin and we reap death. Drink too much, drug yourself into a stupor, eat too much, death, death, death. I talked to a friend the other day who said he had to take his son into GameStop to get him some component for his gaming system. And he said, Pastor, I couldn't believe it. There was nobody in that store under 30. Now, gaming can be a healthy distraction, or it can become a destructive addiction. Pornography is now off the charts. You read these statistics about teenagers as they're doing their homework, and the pornography is right there. 30-40% of teens have a steady diet of pornography. You see, it used to be, if you wanted to look at dirty stuff, you had to go somewhere to get it. You had to interact with other people. There was that embarrassment that would keep you from finding that material. There was a black market for it. You had to sneak around. Now all you have to do is click. All you have to do is click. And a lot of times you don't even have to click looking for it. It comes looking for you. But why resist that urge? Who am I hurting? And in our society, it's so accepted. So you're kind of the oddball. If you try to, and the world would say it's natural. Who am I hurting? Well, I'm hurting myself. If we don't practice self-discipline, we'll have no discipline at all. And if we don't practice self-discipline, nobody else can discipline us. If we're not given to it, if we don't yield to it, if we don't desire it, it won't be ours. The reason God gave his laws for living is because they're the best way to life and happiness. You want to be happy? Follow the Lord. You want to have joy? Obey Christ. You want to have a life that is worth living? Follow Jesus. Saving oneself for marriage and then keeping yourself only for that other person is the best model for family health. There is nothing that rivals that. That's the gold standard. Not becoming addicted to alcohol, gaming, or anything else leaves you free to live a balanced life. But as soon as we figure out something is destructive, you've seen the History Channel, you've heard the stories about Prohibition early in the last century. They finally got a constitutional amendment that alcohol was illegal in the United States. Oh boy, did that turn out to be a fiasco. People didn't want to be dry. They wanted to be drunk. They wanted to be soused. They wanted the right to go destroy themselves in many different ways. As soon as a law is given, our flesh starts complaining, "Who are you to tell me?" Even if it's God, even if it's for our good, who do you think you are? I'm the captain of my own ship. I will do as I please. In fact, when we hear what is good for us, our flesh automatically has a bounce back to that. We actually want to do things we didn't want to used to do until we heard, "Don't do that." Yeah, there's a little rebel living inside you. He's got a Harley with a big fork on the front, easy rider, and he will just go where he wants to go when he wants to go there. Paul said, I never knew what coveting was until the law said, do not covet. And then when the law said, don't covet, all of a sudden I was coveting everything I came in contact with. And it just, the way it is, God gives us a law for our own good, but then this flesh inside of it, it just wants to do other than what it's being told. Think about it. One tree in the Garden of Eden didn't matter one way or t'other to Adam and Eve until God said, don't eat from that tree. I'll bet there were so many trees in the garden, there were a bunch of trees they never ate off of. They had plenty of fruit. And that was one of the ones they had set aside because, well, now God said, but when God said, don't eat from that, then the enemy come by and said, good looking fruit, don't you think? And it started a chain reaction. So we have some behaviors that hurt us personally. If I do this, it makes me sick. It's killing me. It's whatever. And it also can cause misery for the people around me. So God lovingly and responsibly warns us against those behaviors. Now, you do that with your kids, right? Don't touch the stove. It's hot. Don't go near those steps. You'll fall down them. Look, you warn people that you love against things that are going to hurt them. So that's what God does for us. But as soon as God warns us, the devil rushes in to refute the truth, resulting in us being tempted. Oh, look, stairs. Yeah, they do stairs. Why would they say you can't do stairs when they do stairs? Boy, those stairs look fun, don't they? And God has given us a loving command. But all that enemy, he's so good at what he does. He's so good at dressing poop up that oh boy, that's what we want more than anything else. And this is the struggle being described for us in Romans chapter 7. In verse 24, Paul cries, "O wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death?" In my mind, he says, I know what is good and right, and I agree with God's commands. Thou shalt not lie. That's right. Lying is bad. Thou shalt not kill. Oh, my, yes. Killing is bad. Thou shalt not. Oh, no, I would never steal. Stealing is. In my mind, I know all these things. Thou shalt never go to a buffet again. Oh, that's right. I'm never buffeting again. Next Thanksgiving, you know, if I have a slice of pie, it'll be a skinny one. And, I know in my mind. But my body keeps doing these things that I keep saying I'm not going to do. I'm in this wretched condition. Who's going to help me? Every time I violate wisdom, it doesn't satisfy me. It leaves me feeling guilty. In fact, it leaves me literally guilty. I did wrong, and now I'm suffering because of it. This is the condition of man. We want things that kill us. So verse 25 in Romans chapter 7 says, "Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." There is an answer. There is a Savior. This is the good news of the gospel. Not just that you are forgiven for all that you've done, but he will lead you into healthy patterns of living. He will get you out of that death life of being torn, and he will help you to grow up and be that person of God that you've always wanted to be. That means that he helps us change our desires from death-giving activities and thoughts to life-giving ones. The truth is, you will do what you want to do. You'll do it. So what we need to change is what you want. Your wanter needs to be adjusted into a different way of living. The key to life is to want to do good stuff. Wouldn't you love to love vegetables? Ron Strine, even you can learn how to eat a vegetable. That's right. Everybody just think good thoughts Ron's way. Stretch your hands out toward Lord God. God can help us repattern our thinking. See, the enemy has been lying to us so long about that tree that we shouldn't be eating. We become convinced, I'm a slave to that tree. I need that. My parents ate at that tree. It's what I love. It's my dream. It's this. It's that. And we get patterned into these things that are killing us. But learning to enjoy good stuff more than bad stuff is part of the gospel. Understanding that guilty feeling we have after we've indulged in things that are harmful to us, that's a God thing. That guilt is there for a reason. It's to teach us. Yeah, and we agree with it. We walk, I'm not doing that anymore. And then how did I do that again? Didn't I say that the last time? I'm not going to say things like that anymore. Oh, man, me and my big mouth. How did I make that mistake again? That guilt is supposed to teach us. It's supposed to remember that. So that the next time, I remember the last time I was here to make this choice. I went that way and it wasn't good. I'm going to go another way now. Let me give you an example from my everyday life. Barb and I go into a restaurant. We get our menu. We look it over. Chicken fingers and fries. That's just about my favorite. Barb will always opt for a salad topped with grilled chicken. In fact, there's a salad they have at Perkins. What do they call it? Honey mustard chicken crunch salad. Key word being crunch. They make the most delicious batter dipped chicken on top of your salad. And I always tell the waitress, we'd like to split that salad, but give me the grilled chicken instead of the good chicken. Oh. You know, and we always have this little moment, Barb and I, and usually I'm thinking cheeseburger or chicken fingers, but when I get what I want, I always get up, why did I do that? My stomach is just gluggity, gluggity, oh man. It tasted so good when I was eating it. But when I split that salad with my wife, I get up, I'm satisfied, I'm full. I feel better about myself as well as better in my physical. Oh, but doesn't that look nice? I don't know if you've ever had it with ranch dressing for a dip. Because sometimes, just because it's deep fried, it doesn't have enough calories in it. That ranch dip can just, you know, and don't just dip it in there. Let it soak for a little while. Oh, wait a second. What was I just talking about here? When I go with my flesh and eat the bad stuff, I kick myself the whole way home. But when I follow after, I remember now. I remember what happened last time. I know now what is better. But isn't it easy to fall into a bad pattern and then fortify it with lies that keep us in that pattern. And so we say to ourselves things. Often I go in the restaurant, I sit down and I look around. I don't know if this ever happens to you, but I sit there and the first thing they carry past me to the people that are sitting behind me is a plate full of chicken fingers and fries. And then a tray comes the other way and they've got two sundaes, you know, in the glass, and it's got the whipped cream and the cherry on top, and they carry it that way. And you know, when you first get to the restaurant, you're kind of hungry. And then, you know, sometimes the people right across from you, they've ordered one of those meatloaf sandwiches with the gravy poured all over it and the gravy all over the fries. And they sit that right in front of you while they're getting ready to put everything else on you. And, oh, and it's just wafting, you know, into your sinuses and up to your brain and saying, you want me, you want me. Order me now, order me now. And the temptations come. Most Christians in America choose to follow their flesh rather than their Savior. Now, all of us make poor choices from time to time. But the saddest tragedy of all is that we don't learn from our poor choices. We keep tripping. When we lived in Shanksville in our parsonage, there was one step between our living room and our kitchen. And Josh, he didn't learn to walk. He learned to run. At 9 months, he just stood up and took off. And as long as we lived in Shanksville, he was from 9 months old to a year and a half old, he would charge at the kitchen and boom, fall over that step, get up and keep running. He would come from the kitchen and then plump, fall down that step, you know, boom, plop, boom, plop. And we would just, you know, we didn't know whether to laugh or cry, or we finally padded that step because we knew he was going to trip over it. But that's us. Boom, plop, boom, plop, boom, plop. And we allow the enemy to just bruise us and beat us like a sow returning to the mud or a dog its vomit. We rush right back into our destructive patterns. Jesus will rescue. Hear this. Jesus will rescue. He will teach you. But you must be willing to learn and apply the truth. He will lead you in paths of righteousness, but you got to be willing to go. He will tell you what is right, but he will not grab you by the scruff of the neck and make you become a better person. You have to want to be a better man. You have to want to be a better woman. You have to want to be an adult. You have to want to grow up in Jesus Christ. Now, my greatest area of weakness is eating, and that's why I've talked so much about it today. And I tell you, I get into a pattern. I've told you this story before. I'll go 8 months or so, and you know I'll be doing really well, and then something will happen. One time it was Christmas time, and we were visiting my parents, and I hadn't had any sweets for the longest time. And when I'm in that pattern, I'm just fine. I'm not hungry. I'm not hankering after stuff. I can cook for other people. It's just not a problem. I my body's trained. It knows what to do. But I remember my mom put these cookies in front of me, chocolate chip cookies. My mom makes very good chocolate chip cookies. And she said, "Hey, Joel, have a cookie." I said, "No, that's okay. I don't eat that stuff." "Oh, okay. Well, you know, I made these just for you." "Thank you, Mom. I appreciate that." And she said, "You know, they're still hot out of the oven. I love them when they're hot out of the oven." Yeah, me too, Mom. That's great." She says, "Do you notice how the chocolate is melted yet, because there's still just that little pool of chocolate in there?" She says, I said, "Well, maybe one won't hurt." 8 months later, you know, I wake up, my bed's crumbs, you know, cookie crumbs all through my bed, you know, chocolate all over my face. Ah! It's happened again. And we have to be willing to learn and apply the truth. Jesus will rescue, but when I get back in my bad habits, I'll pray and I'll say, Lord, because I know I need God's help. There's no such thing as Joel control. I know I need God's help to get back out, because I know all these things I shouldn't be eating, but I get into these bad patterns where every time I go in the kitchen, I have to get something to eat. It's just, I'm in the kitchen, Pavlov's dogs. Every time I go through the kitchen, I take something with me to eat. When I'm getting off my program, I'll take a little bowl of pretzels. That's nice. But before long, I've got the whole bag of pretzels. And I just fall into these patterns all the time that are destructive. And each time I go back to my old ways, it seems harder to get back again. And so I will pray and I will pray and God will just take longer to bring me back out because, you know, he wants me to learn. I think God wants a bright son, not a numbskull. And so he's expecting more out of me as time goes on. And I have friends, I have a lot of friends who go through this with food all the time. This seems to be our issue together. But I have other friends who've been through it with smoking and with alcohol. They've been delivered. Jesus has set them free. But then after a while, they go back to that old pattern. And here's the lie that gets them every time. If you're really free, one won't hurt. One chocolate chip cookie right out of the oven where the chocolate is still melty. That your mother made it just for you. What kind of a jerk wouldn't eat his mother's cookie that she made just for him? One can't possibly hurt, right? And so you've been free from tobacco for a while, but the devil comes and he says, if you're really free, if God really set you free, one wouldn't hurt. How many pieces of fruit did it take to lose Eden? It was just one. It was just one. That's why it's so helpful for an alcoholic to stand up and say, I'm an alcoholic. I cannot have just one drink. There's no such thing. I can't lick the lid off the bottle. I'm an alcoholic. If I go there, I can't come back. That's why it's helpful for an alcoholic to admit who he is or who she is so that she stays in that pattern that she has learned her freedom in. Don't take it for granted. Don't think yourself stronger than you are. This is who I am. I'm the grandson of two grandpa alcoholics. One found freedom in Jesus Christ. The other was shot to death in a bar. So, you know, I know that I, genetically, I am predisposed to addiction. Why in the world would I tempt fate? I think, well, you know, one, you know, and they all think it's cool and they're not going to think much of me if I don't and this, that, and the other thing. Genetically, I'm predisposed to addiction. Now get this. We're all descendants of Adam and Eve. We have a predisposition toward trading paradise for a desert, life for death. That's who we are. We'll pave paradise and put up a parking lot every time. We will trade what is good for what is bad. Think about it. That step you've been tripping over all this time. You would think by now. But this is who we are. Stay clear from those things that have enslaved others. Seek the Lord, all the things of God. Don't let those lies hold you down. Well, your parents were this, and that's the way you were raised, and you've always done this. I don't care. You've been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the stuff you need to be rehearsing in your mind. That's how you need to be washing your spirit. I'm a new man. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. His mercies are new every morning. I don't care if you tripped over that step every day of your life for 67 years. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. And he can give you freedom. He can give you grace. Jesus is your rescuer. Seek his help, his counsel, his guidance. Believe what he says about morality, honesty, generosity, and everything else. He's trying to save you. All contrary voices are trying to steal, kill, and destroy. But I'm not talking about a law this morning. We're talking about getting that part that wants to, that enjoys worship, that is joyful in prayer, that is glad when they say, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." See, if you're still dragging your stuff to that, you're trying to be good, you're trying to do what is right, that's nice. But you're likely as weak as I am. I need to want to do something if I'm going to stay with it. I need to find a way to want it, to enjoy it, to desire it. And that's where Jesus comes in. Jesus, you are my Savior, and I know that you can change me from the inside out. I want that want-to part. I'm waiting on that part that wants to. God, bring it, please. And once you get it, don't despise it. Don't treat it as cheap. Treat it as something valuable. Thank you, Lord. This is a gift from God. I didn't used to want it. I wasn't like this. I was quite different. But look what the Lord has done. And if you don't want it, just be honest with that. God, I don't like to pray. Lord, I don't like to read the Bible. Father, you know what? I'm kind of bored with church. If you'll come honest, God can work with that. But if you're going to stay encrusted in your lies you're going to sink to the bottom. But if you will bring yourself and say, God, here's where I am. I don't want to be here anymore. Can you start untangling the spaghetti of lies that I've wrapped around my spirit and help me to get to that place where I really need to be? This message comes in the middle of a series on the Holy Spirit. And that's because once you are saved, the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and you have everything you need to overcome the temptations from the enemy. The enemy will tell you, no, that's not true. You can't. That's not you. You will never. But the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things. Is that true or not? Then quit lying to yourself. I'll never be able to give up alcohol. I'll never be able to quit smoking. I'll never this, I'll never that. That's a lie. I can do all things. Maybe I can't do it today. Maybe I can't change it all right now. But I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. There is a battle that rages inside each one of us. Most believers today simply give in to their base desires and say, well, God will forgive me. I'll just keep doing what I do, and I'll just keep asking God to forgive me, and, I'll make it. But the result of that is a wasted, if not a harmful, life. And maybe you do well in most part, but there will always be a part of you that is not as it could be. That is not free, that is not whole, that is not strong. You're being called to a better life, a real life, life to the full. I was talking with Ward not long ago, Ward and Lily Schultz, I hope you all know them. Lily is from Malaysia. And one of the things that they've done is they've brought several of Lily's relatives over for an education here in the United States. Lily's got a lot of relatives, but only several have been able to come. And Daniel's a young man who's been coming with them to church. Very delightful young man. I hope you get a chance to meet and know him. But Ward told me, he said, when Daniel said he wanted to come and be educated in the United States, he said, I told him, Daniel, you can come and you are welcome here, but you're not going to be ordinary if you come. You're going to be exceptional. You're going to make A's, not C's and D's. You're going to get a scholarship. And you're going to win a scholarship to college. And you're going to be exceptional if you come. And I thought, that's such a great illustration for what I'm trying to preach today. Jesus Christ says to us, you can come and be part of my family. I'm going to forgive your sins, and I'm going to bring you into a family where you're going to have opportunities that you never knew on the other side. But if you come, you're not going to be ordinary. You're going to be exceptional. Do you understand me? And I'm afraid that the message that most people have gotten today is, if we'll just pray this sinner's prayer, if we'll just believe, well, we'll just go muddy ourselves up every day, and we'll come home at night, and he'll just clean us up, and then we'll be fine. And I suppose to some degree that happens. But God is longing for a people who don't want to be caked in mud anymore. He's longing for people who aren't just embroiled in guilt constantly, who aren't always slathered with the things of the world, and certainly not a people who are pleased to live that way all their lives. The Lord is calling to you, and he's calling to me. It's time. Stand up and be a man. Stand up and be a woman. Put childish ways by. Make a determination. Decide in your heart. God will help you, but he won't do it for you. Whatever battle you have been fighting, fight it again. And let God be the victor in your life. Let's be extraordinary for the kingdom of God and for the sake of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are there any harmful patterns in your life you need freedom from today? Maybe it's your mouth. Maybe it's your thinking. Maybe it's an action. Maybe it's an addiction. You may not go home free today simply because you said, yes, I receive that word. But you can choose sides this morning. I'm asking you to choose life. Yes, 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 God, as you set me free, I will walk in that freedom and I will stay in that pattern. I repent today. I agree, God, you're right. I have been fighting against you. I've been arguing and I shouldn't be doing that. I've made bad choices, foolish choices. I ask for your grace once again. And I ask you, God, to help me from here. Would you stand with me this morning? Before we do communion, we are going to do our closing song this morning. And just trust the Lord. As our closing song is really a prayer of everything that we've been teaching this morning. Break every chain. Amen, 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 amen. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. You are not an exception that Christ cannot set you free. If everybody would come down the center aisle and take the elements and form a large circle this way, enjoy communion together this morning. I'd like to apologize to Ron Strine for picking on him this morning with the vegetables there.
It's all true. It's all true.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't eat fruit either. So this is the only fruit he gets all month.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's fruit in that cup. All right. Oh, got you again. Not that one. All right. Let me warn you, there's an empty cup in this tray. Look at that. There'll be one left for the preacher. All right. Did all that make sense to you this morning? That we want bad things, but Christ came not just to forgive us for the bad things we've done, but to change our hearts and attitudes to do better things. And that's why his body was broken. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And he carried all that to the cross so we could change. Let's pray over the bread this morning. Father, thank you for providing for us. Please forgive us for being so pig-headed that we can be in Christ for 20, 30, 50 years and not change because we've allowed the devil to have a little stronghold inside of us. And that stronghold of ours is evangelistic. It speaks to other people. It teaches other people, well, yeah, you could get away with this too. God, we don't want to be like that. We pray that as we take this cracker this morning, you will crush that part in us that has been lying to us for so long, or we've been using to lie to ourselves. And God, you will change us from the inside. I am not a victim of circumstance or my gene pool or my environment. I am a child of God. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And we pray for those around this circle who might be battling temptations for immorality or alcohol or whatever it might be. Lord Jesus, set us free. I feel for the young person who might have gotten caught up in pornography. Well, how in the world do you get free from that? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. And once that freedom comes, don't take it light. Don't think you can play with it. Don't take it for granted. It's a fragile thing. And you must cling to it and rejoice in it and give God glory for it. So, Lord, as we take the broken body this morning, break us and do something new inside each one. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take the bread together. And after supper, he took a cup. He said, "This is the New Testament of my blood. My blood was shed that your sins be forgiven. Do this in remembrance of me." As we take the cup this morning, be thankful for the washing power. You are now forgiven. Everything ever you did, forgiven and clean. Hallelujah. Now with this clean slate, move forward in the power of the Holy Spirit to live a dynamic new life. Let's pray over the cup. Lord Jesus, it can be just a little cup of juice. We drink it and we go on. But Lord, it symbolizes the blood of Jesus Christ. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. We pray that you will wash away our sin, wash away our lies, and empower us now to be that people you have called us to be. Lord, we so often show up just to be ordinary, be like everybody else. We'll order off their same menu. That's not what we're called to. Lord, we've been called to be extraordinary. Let us live up to the blood that was shed for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take the cup together. Now, starting right here in the middle, pass your cups this way and that way. There you go.
I'm sorry, I totally missed which way we're passing this way.
Yeah, get with it, Sadie. All right. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, friends.